because I know as dietitians, people are asking me organic apple versus non-organic apple. And I'm like, that's not the problem.
This is On Nutrition, a podcast from Mayo Clinic, where we dig into the latest nutrition trends and research to help you understand what's health and what's hype. I'm Tara Schmidt, a registered dietitian with Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. This episode, eating healthy on a budget. You've probably heard the phrase, health is wealth, but sometimes it feels like it's the other way around because loading up your cart with fish, fresh veggies and fruits, and all other kinds of healthy food can get expensive. For most of us, healthy eating isn't as simple as knowing what foods to eat. It also means figuring out which of those foods you can afford. And one of my favorite experts on budget-friendly eating is my friend and colleague, Kristen Blixt. She's a dietitian at Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, and I've seen her give some amazing presentations on how to get the biggest nutritional bang for your buck. Hey, Kristen, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me, Tara.
We used to sit in cubes next to each other.
I know, we did. I miss having you right beside me.
Now we just send memes back and forth.
We've been through a lot together, both professionally and personally.
So you've probably noticed that groceries are way more expensive than they used to be. I read that the average cost of food items is 25% more expensive than it was in 2019. Have you seen this impact in your grocery shopping and also your patients?
Oh, it's so much. I kind of think every time we go, my husband and I kind of just like, what happened? Over the last couple of years, I think we've seen that we used to be around $100 a week, and now it's up to like, you know, $130, $150. And it's something I definitely always remember patients or clients just commenting, especially as it relates to fruits and vegetables and produce, like they understand the importance of having it. And then when they get to the store and might see the sticker price shock a little bit, just like, oh, you want me to eat all of this, but then it drives my grocery bill up so much. So it's understandable that people would have lots of questions or have lots of apprehension about how do I get all this, have a nutritious diet and still have enough money for all the other things in our life as well.
Do you have tips for like drawing up a grocery budget? Like, is this something that you formally do or that you encourage people to do for themselves?
So I kind of thought about two different approaches you might take. Like, we always encourage tracking what you eat.
Yeah.
Maybe it's more like tracking how much you spend. And so if you create a spreadsheet or just write it in a notebook, taking a look at like, what do I spend at the grocery store? Maybe have a column or items for what I spend at the gas station or convenience store, restaurants, coffee shops, or like food entertainment. Like if you go to the movies, do you get concessions? Or if you go to a sporting event, are you buying things? Another approach might be to look back and see on bank statements or credit card statements. Again, same categories. Maybe first just hone in on like, how much do I spend at the grocery store? And just for easy math, let's say, okay, I spend $500 a month or whatever on groceries. Can I divide that by, if my goal is to shop once a week, divided by four, that gives you roughly $125 then for groceries. And like you said, as you look at that number, if you're like, oh my gosh, that seems like nothing, is that where then you can look at those other columns of where you're spending money? I know for myself with a family of four, even to eat out at like a fast food restaurant, it's easily $40.
Heck no. Yeah.
Right. It's easily $40. So it's like, how much are we spending in those other categories? And are there ways we might be able to cut back in those categories to free up more money for that budget? And then that might even just be kind of a place to start. Maybe it would surprise you or give you a ballpark idea of, can I stick to this? And then you can kind of, as you go, see, yeah, we're needing more, or we're needing less, or what it kind of looks like, and go from there to adjust a budget.
And I love that you took this outside of the grocery store, right? Because when we talk about eating on a budget and nutrition on a budget, we always think of our grocery list. But I love that you brought up like, yeah, sometimes we go out to eat and sometimes we go to happy hour and sometimes we get coffee and cake pops at Target when we're there with the kids. And again, like those extra little things that if we saved that amount of money and put that towards our grocery budget or just didn't spend it in the first place, it's all food.
Yeah. Some of us might be surprised at how much we spend because you go get gas, right? And then you run in to get a treat. It might be like, what, $3, $5, and you're not thinking of it. But every time that you stop at a convenience store, if you're doing that, would you be shocked to see how much it might add up over the month? And then you're like, oh, so is it the grocery store bills? It may be some of these other places too that are starting to drive up some of that budget too.
Something else I thought of is that I have actually come home from the grocery store and like opened up my very long, skinny little list and like looked through not item by item, but like big ticket items. Like, okay, what was $17? Oh, that is the steak that we bought because my husband wanted to have steak on Friday. Oh, I actually bought makeup. Oops. Okay, sorry. Okay. So I've looked at it to be like, okay, where are all these numbers coming from? And that's been a little bit of sticker shock to me. And I will say, maybe I'm biased, I don't know, it's mostly animal proteins that are more than I anticipated. Sure. Like, we bought four fillets of salmon. Like, that's expensive.
Yes, absolutely. There was sticker shock for me the other day when I wanted to get some salmon. And I was like, oh, wow, I want to do this for my heart health. And then it was just kind of like, this was $12 for 8 ounces of salmon. So those meat proteins do tend to cost a little bit more. And that's something to think about when you can get those on sale and stock up or freeze what you're not going to use of some of those items. Like chicken breast, maybe I'm going to stock up or get more chicken breast than what I've maybe planned for that week so that I can freeze it and then thaw that out for future weeks planning. But then I saved money kind of in that sense.
Yeah. And you mentioned this before, the same concept or fear, I think, goes with fruits and vegetables. So we've seen the price of fresh produce, especially, rise with import and there's labor costs. And ultra processed foods, which are not all bad, but let's talk about ultra processed foods in the snack aisle.
Like the obvious ones, right? Like the chips, the soda.
Yes. The fun foods seem like they're cheaper. So how would you advise families or individuals to get more produce in their cart when it seems like it makes more sense to stretch their budget to get more food, but less nutrition?
First, it's important to acknowledge this is a real challenge for families.
Yes.
My heart goes out because you've got a family or yourself to feed, and you see the sticker price of a pint of strawberries is like triple or quadruple that of a bag of chips. So it's understandable your first instinct would be to go for the cheaper option, right? Or as you were kind of alluding to, get a larger volume of food because you want to make sure that you're fed, right? Mm-hmm. Fed of like not having hungry bellies. At the same time, there's a difference with having that nutritional component where I know I sat down with a bag of chips, I'm going to eat the whole thing, right? Trying to get myself full, but you know, a cup of grapes, man, that can be very satisfying and fill me up. So some strategies there with fresh produce itself might be to think about looking for what's in season for produce. Generally, what's in season is going to be more affordable. Or on myself, when I have my grocery list, I literally just have a placeholder that says fruits or vegetables.
Me too.
And and then I go to the store and I'm walking around the produce aisle and then I'm looking at what's on sale, right? Which ones, okay, green grapes are cheaper. Guess what? Green grapes are coming home rather than red grapes. It's fine.
Yeah. And even with produce, patients are always asking if they should go fresh, canned, or frozen. What do you say?
This is another place where I think from a budget standpoint, you can really give yourself a leg up, is to get produce in the frozen section, going for it plain so it doesn't have the sauces or the sodium in it. That can be a really great option to help supplement that list so that you get the fruits and vegetables that we're recommending while still helping to manage that budget. And canned produce can also be a great option. With that, vegetables, we're just look for low sodium or even rinse it off before you heat it up or add it to dishes, or even canned fruit, looking for it in water or in its own juice can also be ways to help you get that produce in kind of a different sense. We've always heard this fresh is best. And to say, you know what, it all can have a place. How do you make it work, especially in this discussion of that budget?
Well, because how mad have you been if you've ever had like blueberries, raspberries, blackberries, if they've accidentally been lost in your fridge and gotten moldy? And you're like, I can't believe I wasted how many dollars that was when I have a giant bag of frozen blueberries in my freezer. Will never go moldy, y'all.
And sometimes those things are so much more practical for like smoothies or to go in things where the look of them, like texture wise or consistency, doesn't matter. But to have it as a side or as a snack, I want it to be that plump, lush strawberry or blueberry. Yes. So I want to save the fresh for those types of things. So that can be a way to find that balance between those two to get more produce into your diet.
I really like that you brought up the fact of just saying fruit or veggies on the list, and then showing up and seeing what's up. My daughter went through a kiwi phase recently, and It was 3 kiwis for $8.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, okay, we're not having kiwis this week,
kiwi
everyone.
Phase done.
And let's go over to the banana section now. So I like the flexibility of, hey, when kiwis are cheap, I will buy you as many kiwis as you want.
Yes.
And it's not going to be this week, girlfriend. So I like that. Just get maybe what's on sale, what's in season, what looks good. And I understand that sometimes we have meal planning for specific ingredients. Okay, that's fine. But that's where maybe we check the fresh and then we check the frozen and then we end up with canned if need be.
And even some of those recipes, as you mentioned, like that calls for this specific ingredient because tomatoes are on sale or whatever. Could that take the place of the peppers, right?
Yes.
Like recipes too can kind of be experiments a little bit. What if it calls for this? What if I put that instead? Probably won't change it that much. Baking is a different story. But
exactly. Not with fruits and veggies, right? Like in a soup, if you're missing an ingredient, or you can add ingredients
more,
for all I
absolutely.
Care.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about some high nutrition, but low cost foods we can target. So the one I always think of is canned beans. I get the no salt added ones. Then obviously I rinse them off.
Same.
What other foods do you think of when we talk about super great nutrition, low cost?
So since you started with a protein, other proteins that came to my mind when I was thinking about this is lentils as well. Tuna, canned tuna or salmon. Mm-hmm. Eggs is another one. And sometimes we think about, oh, that's only a breakfast food. But one of our favorite is having breakfast for dinner. Sometimes my plans fall through or something happens last minute. I forgot to thaw something else. Like, guess what? Eggs for dinner. Grains is another one that comes to mind. So like brown rice or other whole grains that are shelf stable, like oatmeal, whole wheat pasta, quinoa, some of those things. Store brand whole wheat bread. Store brand items tend to be more affordable than name brand things, right? And nutritionally speaking, the same, comparable. So that's a way to save
Excellent.
Some dollars. You had mentioned bananas. Bananas is always a really go-to. They're so affordable, versatile, like year round can have those. Apples also jump to mind too. And then of course, like the frozen berries is something I always keep on hand because then you can have them year round. Mm-hmm. Vegetables that came to mind was like potatoes or sweet potatoes. I mean, the poundage you get of those, it's a welcomed relief. Like, oh, look at how much I get for this price. Then like broccoli or onions, canned tomatoes was another one that I keep on hand all the time because you mentioned soups or stews. They're great things to throw in versus, again, saving my fresh tomatoes for salads or things like that that I might want. And also a tip just with produce in general, when you get pre-washed, pre-cut types of things, they're going to be more expensive.
Another option for people, and I feel like it's getting a little bit more popular now to shop at like big stores like a Costco or a Sam's Club. So buying in bulk, things especially that are shelf stable. So what can we utilize that shelf stable or keep on hand, but also not get sick of eating over and over?
Yeah, very fair question, because you want to stock up on the item that's on sale, right? So I think this is where to just kind of allow yourself to be creative. So that canned bean one is one of my favorites that I'm trying so diligently myself to include more often. So I'm thinking about how can we creatively use canned beans? You might add them to taco meat one night. So my kids start to see those black beans in a dish that they would normally eat, right? There's ground beef in here and there's black beans, but then canned beans the next night, it's going into a soup recipe, or then it's in a rice bowl. So it's the same shelf stable stock ingredient, but it looks so differently because I've incorporated it in unique ways besides what we might just typically think of, like rice and beans are a side. Or if it's something like canned fruit, yes, it could be a side dish. I've done that where by the end of the week, we've done a good job and our fresh produce is all out. Here's some canned peaches to have as a side with dinner. But then I might also use canned peaches to top my morning oatmeal. I love canned peaches over cottage cheese, right? Or again, it can be thrown into a smoothie.
No mixing cottage cheese with fruit. I will sometimes challenge myself to use something that I've been staring at in my pantry for too long. So like if I have beans in the pantry that are in a can and I've been looking at them for too long because I had some intention and never utilized them, I'm like, okay, Tara, you are going to literally Google recipe with blank and we're going to use them up if I can't think of it myself. Do you have somewhere that you go specifically for healthy, inexpensive recipes?
So, gotta shout out Mayo Clinic, right? Mayo Clinic has that healthy recipe index. It's by ingredient. It's categorized that way. So then, like you just said, I've got this one ingredient. How do I use it? You could go right to that index and say, oh, hey, here's some bean idea recipes that I might consider and try. Another one, as it relates to this budget conversation that we're having, the USDA My Plate Kitchen has a fantastic SNAP category for recipes. So that's the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, but it has over 800 recipes that are geared towards budget-friendly recipe options. I know Hy-Vee is a local grocery chain to us here in the Midwest, but they also had recipes categorized by budget. And likely whatever grocery store you have in your area, likely on their website, probably has recipes categorized. I also sometimes just like to Google search because I've got two young kids, kid-friendly recipes too. If I have a certain, like you said, ingredient that I'm trying to get utilized, I've done that before too.
Shopping for healthy meals doesn't have to be difficult, especially if we come prepared. Step one is to figure out how much you're spending on food each week and include the other non-grocery foods like movie snacks, coffee, or a meal out. It can also be eye-opening to check your receipts. Did I really spend that much on seafood? This can help you figure out what you can change. When it comes to produce, try adding a generic fruit or vegetable item on your list and then see what deals are available at the store. And if you're shopping for a recipe, you can swap in canned or frozen produce or even substitute a similar item, like spinach instead of kale. You can also buy affordable staple items and challenge yourself to use them in new ways, like adding them to your favorite soup or as a pizza topping. And if you get stuck, there are resources online, like the USDA My Plate Kitchen or Mayo Clinic's own online recipe index. You can find those links and more in the show notes. But grocery shopping isn't always that clear cut. There are a million choices, including where to shop and what version to buy. So let's delve into the details of those decisions.
We know that it can be really hard, of course, depending on where you live. You and I live in a town where there are like 7,000 grocery stores, but we have people who live in food deserts. It's way more expensive to find fresh food there. If people have the option, is there somewhere that you recommend that they shop? So whether it be bulk stores or the farmers market or just their normal supermarket or even a Walmart, Target type place?
Any of the above. I don't want you walking away thinking you have to go to this one place in order to be successful with nutrition or eating well on a budget. Farmers markets or the farm stands will generally be good options because you're getting the fresh produce and because it doesn't have to go from the farmer on the truck to the store to all this, it is going to be more cost effective. There is actually a national farmers market directory, so you could look up farmers markets located to your area. I also think just asking around to your family and friends and finding out, like, where have you seen the deals? Where are you shopping to get the bang for your buck? I even think about things like Costco, where I have found if I do some of that stuff in bulk for myself personally, that's not a great option because I'm finding I'm wasting it. So I've actually like partnered up and my sister has the membership now. So I'm like, hey, can you get me this thing that I need? Or she's like, hey, I got this. I can't use all this. So we've done things like that too, where we're sharing some of that to help us both benefit. And many stores will have sales flyers or coupons. Sometimes they can have store loyalty programs that are often free to participate in, where you might get more coupons or you get special offers or discounts. And so those are some other ways to think about, no matter where I shop, what are the deals that are available at those locations?
I also know the standard kind of errands that I run. And over time, I've just realized that the protein bars that my family eats are way cheaper at store X versus Y. I don't know why. I don't really care why. But I have just over time recognized, like, oh, yeah, we don't buy that food here. That is $4 sometimes cheaper at the store on the other side of town.
Oh, absolutely. So it's like when I'm going to that place to get other things, I might buy two boxes of it to get us by because it may not be where I normally shop for the rest of my groceries, but I want that specific item. So I have done that before too.
Let's play a little bit of this or that, right? So there are sometimes things that are worth buying at a higher price. I'm thinking like really, really good cheese or fish or chocolate, right? But sometimes nutritionally, it's not really worth it. So organic or non-organic? What are your thoughts
I love this. And I can see your huge smile as we talk about this one. We get this question all the time. And some people can feel very passionate about this. And I want to come at it from a budget standpoint, right? It will increase the food dollars. And so what research has found is that organic, nutritionally speaking, is not far superior, right? Or significantly superior in that sense. And so if that kind of gives you that rest assurance, like, go for what your budget can allow. So if you want a mix of things and your budget allows that, some organic, some non, great. If you're like, man, it's so expensive, my budget just doesn't have it, that's okay too. Because I know as dietitians, people are asking me organic apple versus non-organic apple. And I'm like, that's not the problem.
Eat the apple, y'all.
Eat the apple in any form. You prefer applesauce, you go for it, right? Yeah. Because it's the chips and the soda and the candy and that ultra processed food that plagues the American diet that's probably more concerning to us than organic apple versus the inorganic apple.
Which one will you eat?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
like,
yes.
If you'll eat organic and you want to pay for organic, that's totally fine. And if you won't eat organic because you won't pay for it, okay, well then let's buy regular ones, right?
And sometimes it's a taste. There's not going to be one size fits all to this conversation. Like tomatoes for me, homegrown tomatoes just taste better. So I think with organic, the concern is again, that pesticide residue or things washing. Whether it's organic or conventionally grown, wash your produce well. Wash it well before you consume it to help from that standpoint. I know there's things out there like the Dirty Dozen or the Clean 15 and those types of lists. But again, I don't want to make food seem good or bad, right or wrong. I want to make it more accessible to everybody. So find what works for you, a balance of what works for you. Because again, it's more about consuming the nutritious food and getting it in your grocery cart and getting it home than some of the other highly processed foods.
Yeah. Okay. The question is fresh herbs and spices or dried. So do you have a vote for fresh or packaged herbs and spices?
Again, I think not a one size fits all approach. What's going to work for you? I have this rice recipe I love and it has cilantro in it, but it's literally the only recipe that I use that has cilantro in it. And so then I get this huge bulk of cilantro. And the rest of it spoils. Whereas you might find herbs like basil or parsley that you might use more across many dishes. You're like, I'm going to use that fresh. And I think where you're at in your meal planning or cooking journey. So if you're new to this, fresh might scare you. It's okay to use dried. And I actually do. I use mostly dried as well. Just again, from time standpoint, I don't want the fresh to go to waste. But again, I think you could do a combination to make it work.
And I'm just going to say that I use dried herbs and spices because I'll never use the large package of the fresh ones. And I think it's too expensive. So yes, I've had the same little shaker of oregano for the last few months and it's fine. And if you like oregano, like straight up fresh and you want to pay for it, that's fine too. So sometimes it just doesn't matter, right? If it matters to you, do what you need to do, right? This is organic. This is fresh herbs and spices. If that is like a huge passion or pet peeve of yours, then you can do it. And that's totally fine.
A lot of this is finding what works for you. Because again, as we talk about this from a budget standpoint, if you're ending up throwing it away, it's literally that money right into the trash.
I think grocery store marketing is fascinating with all the sales and samples and end caps, those display things at the end of each aisle. Do you have a way to help people navigate the urge to spend more on those little treats?
So a big first tip I always think about is trying not to shop when you're hungry. Cannot stress that enough because then everything looks good. Or I'm buying this because I'm hungry. I also try to think about being very mindful of who my shopping buddies are. So we both have kids. So mine are now 5 and 7. And I know if they are with me, there are going to be things that end up in my cart that were not on the list or in the budget.
Or they put them in the cart and I never even saw them.
Or parenting is hard and it's, if you please just be good, you can have this item when we get to the checkout.
Bribery at its finest.
Yes. Or to being mindful of the time of day or when I'm going. We all know like 5 o'clock at certain stores, everybody's probably rushing. if it's really peak hours or it's busy at that time, that's also where you're going to be more like, oh my gosh, I'm bumping carts with people. I'm just going to start throwing stuff
in
the grocery cart or forget about my list. Learning the layout of your store, I think, is another great one because stores are all designed a little bit different. There's actually certain aisles that I won't go down at all because I'm like, there's nothing in that aisle for me. It's
you don't
just
need to go there.
Household stuff that will be cute or whatever, but I don't need it. Or from a nutritional standpoint, I'm not going down the chip aisle or I'm not going down the pop aisle or whatever it is, just because those aisles are long. And so my willpower might be really strong at the start, but by the time I get to the end of that, or as you said, get to the end cap, you have that long aisle and then that end cap where they'll push the sale items or they'll push new products that they want. And then you're like, oh, $5 to try these new crackers. Why not? Those are strategically placed to lure you in with bright colors, showy signs. Could be something that is potentially on sale, but often they're trying to push a certain product.
Even if you didn't go down that aisle, right? Like I Even purposely if you didn't go down the cereal aisle and now you're showing me the cereal.
Or if there's food samples, again, it's a tactic to drive that product home. Or I think on the way to the checkout, the beautiful tables of decorated themed cookies or whatever's in season, those are tactfully placed that way to get those impulse buys. So again, maybe just taking a mindful moment to really think about, is this on my list? How do I use it? Because I've been guilty of that where I've picked something up because it was on sale, but because I hadn't planned for it,
yes,
it goes to waste and then lesson learned, right? So just be thinking about that. They're trying to trick us into buying some of that stuff too.
Did you know that women typically spend the last 14 years of their lives navigating health issues? Research says we control about 70 to 90% of our health and longevity, but most women don't take advantage of all the ways to improve life and live longer. Mayo Clinic Press's new book, Ageless Aging, offers a new way for women to age while gaining wisdom, resilience, and experience. Take control of your aging journey today. You can buy Ageless Aging at mcpress.mayoclinic.org and use code AGING for 10% off your order today.
There's no right answer for where to shop for groceries. Every town, city, or neighborhood is different. But if you have a local farmer's market, that can be a great option for fresh produce at a good price. And when it comes to organic versus non-organic, fresh versus dried, and all those other decisions, the most important things are A, can you buy it? And B, will you eat it? Nutritionally, you're better off eating any apple than no apple. Other things to be mindful of are to avoid shopping while hungry, not shopping with kids if you can, and being aware of how store layouts and marketing can lure you into buying things you don't need. All right, so we've made it through the store, but it doesn't end there. Now we've got to use the food and also keep it from going to waste.
And we were talking about this when I brought up the very sad moldy blueberries that I found. But that's another thing that can really eat up our budget is wasted food. A bag of spinach lost in my crisper drawer is the other one that I'll always,
I think I have grapes right now.
So we have these foods sometimes that we absolutely unintentionally don't get to, or maybe they go bad or expire before we're able to eat them. I have a fact here that says the average American family throws about $1,500 worth of food away a year. Like,
so sad, isn't it?
Which I guarantee I'm part of that. Like, we know that meal planning would be the best, right? So let's plan how we're going to utilize all of said spinach. What about tips that you have for meal planning and making sure that we are getting what we're going to utilize?
So I sit down once a week and kind of map out, if you will, what does our schedule look like? And if you're newer to meal planning, just start somewhere. Is it I'm mapping out one meal a week, two meals a week, whatever it might be. So I do a full week's worth of meals. From there, then I take a look at what I already have on hand, what's in the pantry, what's in the freezer, what's in the refrigerator, so that if I see, oh, I have some of that chicken breast left over that I had bought a few weeks ago when there was a meat sale, I need to get that used up, right? Mapping that in. How am I using that? Oh, still got blueberries. Don't buy more of those until I use this one, or I need to freeze those so I can use them in a different way. And I know people have mixed feelings about the term leftovers. So I'm a huge fan of leftovers. So if there's weeks where I know I'm not going to have time to cook, it's like I'm making a bigger soup or a bigger meal here so that we intentionally have leftovers that just have to be heated up. So it's a quick, easy meal so that we're not hitting fast food on the way to basketball or whatever it might be. If you don't like the term leftovers, sometimes I like to think about cook once, but eat twice. So again, chicken breast is coming up a lot. Like I might be cooking up some chicken breast tonight because we're having it with a side of rice and steamed vegetables or something. But I might cook up a couple extra chicken breasts than what we plan to use for that night because then I can put it into a stir fry, or I could reheat it and put it over a salad later in the week. So then that's where you see you're planning to reuse some of that extra ingredients. Or if it's fruits and vegetables that you have, that spinach, right? I needed it for the soup recipe, but then it's thinking, don't buy other lettuce because now you have that spinach that can be your salad for the week, right? So those are some things that I think about when I plan to make sure that some of those ingredients aren't going to waste.
And even planning for leftovers. I feel like I've wasted food before because I actually over meal planned. Like I planned 7 dinners. And we actually had way too many leftovers, so I never got to that fish that I planned to have on the 7th day. Just assume maybe that you're going to have leftovers once a week or twice a week.
I love that, though, that you need to have some of that flexibility. So you kind of have to learn your own styles, too.
Absolutely. Okay, so we planned out our meals for the week. We bought the components, ideally within a reasonable budget. We made dinner. But let's talk about produce. Yeah. Any other ideas for utilizing extra produce?
I think we've mentioned a lot of the ways you could throw them into dishes, which is always great. I also think about just having them as your preferred snack options.
Yeah.
Again, I think we have grapes rotting up in the crisper that if they're washed and destemmed and put into a container, that all my children have to do is open the lid of the container. Guess what? They'll go for the grapes as the snack. I also think about veggies just as in pasta sauces. We just have a red sauce, right? Could we throw extra vegetables into that? Like you said, that spinach, because it'll cook down. It's almost then unrecognizable that it can be in there. But if you have extra peppers or extra tomatoes, even thinking about how you might throw some of that produce into a lunch. Like I'm thinking of wrap for lunch. We often think, okay, I've got my protein, I've got my dressing. Sure, lettuce is kind of one of those first vegetables you think about throwing into a wrap. But what about those peppers, those tomatoes, those cucumbers, things like that? Could those go into those wraps as well? A favorite of mine is towards the end of the week when maybe the produce is starting to look a little lackluster. Instead of throwing them away or just letting them continue to rot in the crisper, like sauteing them up or throwing them in a stir fry or roasting them up can be a really great way. I usually have a stir fry dish or steamed vegetables once a week because that's like clean out the crisper night to make sure that anything that it's kind of like, I don't know if I would eat this fresh, but I'd eat it cooked, right? Because wilted spinach, throw it in the, you know, soup. It's not a big deal.
Said smoothie before. They can be ugly and go in a smoothie.
Yes,
I don't care.
Absolutely. I also love the website Still Tasty because it can help you think about how do you maximize the storage life of things so you're storing food correctly. And then also, quote unquote, maximize the shelf life of your foods to help you really decipher use by dates, sell by dates, and all of those things. It can help you determine, is your food actually bad? Is this a hard stop? Or is can I go past some of those dates and utilize them a little bit longer?
I've had a family member actually call me on the phone. I'm like, oh, hi, nice to hear from you. And they're like, hey, so if it says use by, I'm like, just smell it. You're fine. Do you grow any produce? I don't have a green thumb. I do not grow things that I eat. Do you have suggestions for like easy things that I will not kill?
It's a great question because I have to admit as well, I'm not either. So I actually did a little research to kind of look up what might be easy things to do, like green beans, radishes, carrots, cucumbers, beets, zucchinis, tomatoes, peppers, and then leafy greens like those herbs. If you want to use fresh herbs, can be great. And even berries can be great options too.
And what about if someone doesn't have the land, like a windowsill of an apartment? I know people grow herbs and spices. Can you think of anything else that's friendly for city folk?
depending on the size of that window box. Yeah, if they're smaller, those leafy greens, those herbs might work best in those little boxes. I've also seen people who might have like a balcony of an apartment and they use the terracotta pots and then put their tomato or pepper plants in those, and just making sure they have a lot of sun might be a way for you to get some of those tomatoes or peppers to grow in urban locations.
Is there anything that you make from scratch that maybe not a lot of people would?
I'm not a huge from scratch person. I think just from a time standpoint, and again, this is where you maybe need to think about what's your preference, your time, all of that, because we don't want this to stress you out. So actually some things that I do are like waffle or pancake batter from scratch. And then I even freeze those for my kids to have for quick breakfast options before school. I also like to make energy or protein balls of some kind, because they're usually just like a base of like
those
a nut butter.
Those are expensive.
Expensive. Nut butter of some kind, steel cut oats, right? I mean, that's the base of most of those recipes. And then you're adding things in for taste to your preference. We also generally tend to do popcorn with kernels heated over the stove.
So good.
So that's another one that I've started to do versus air pop popcorn or buying popcorn in bags, right, from the chip aisle. Another one is like a basic vinaigrette, because for that, you just need that three-part oil, so one part vinegar, and you can adjust that to your taste and preference. And then from there, you add the herbs, the spices you want, or the lemon juice or the citrus zest. And you can just use like a little mason jar, right, that has a sealable top, because then you can just shake it up.
I love that. Because especially things that you can make a lot of. So waffles is a great example that we do too. So on a Sunday morning, we might make waffles from scratch in the waffle iron, but then we purposely make a ton and then freeze them. And then on school mornings, we put them in a toaster, just like you would put a normal toaster waffle. Any other favorite strategies you have for lessening or avoiding food waste?
Double checking the food pantry. We mentioned spices earlier. So making sure, what do I already have on hand? So I'm utilizing those, that those foods aren't going to waste or getting freezer burnt. One of my biggest things, as I think back to the grapes that are slowly dying in my crisper, is I have to have a prep time. It's usually once a week. It's usually on Sunday evenings when I'm making Sunday dinner. I'm also pre-cutting, pre-chopping, pre-washing, preparing some of those things where, again, it might make sense. I'm cutting up the peppers because then it's so easy to add to the kids' lunch during the week. Or again, washing or destemming the grapes, because if I don't do that, I know that nobody's going to eat them, right? So I'm doing some of those things to make them, again, just those convenient grab-and-go options, so that it's like, oh, throw it in this dish or throw it in that dish. It just makes it so much more user-friendly for me when I have less time to prep during the week.
Yeah. And even learning from your mistakes, right? So, okay, I bought this, it went to waste. So next time I'm going to wash it and chop it and put it in Tupperware immediately. Or, okay, I bought too much of this last time. So what I'm going to do is keep half of it in the fridge. I'm just going to automatically put half of it in the freezer. So when you have that really sad moment of like, oh, I wasted my money, this has to go in the garbage.
No.
Okay, not happening again. Kristen, as always, it was awesome to hang out with you socially or work-wise. I love it. So thanks for chatting with me today.
Thanks so much for having me. And I hope there's something that's inspired both of us from our conversation.
I'm like, I'm not going to throw away that spinach. I'm not going to throw away
that spinach. Those grapes.
We're going to go like run to our fridges right now.
Meal planning is your budget's best friend. And while you're at it, see if you can cook once and eat twice. For instance, is there a day where it makes sense to have leftovers? Or can you roast some veggies that end up in multiple dishes throughout the week? And if you've got leftover produce just chilling in the fridge, see if you can incorporate it into salads, wraps, snacks, or pasta sauce. Or give it a final chance in a stir fry. Growing herbs or vegetables and making things from scratch can also be cost-saving options, if those are things you have time for and enjoy. Eating healthy on a budget doesn't have to be stressful. With a little preparation and practice, you might even find yourself loving your new skill. That's all for this episode. But if you've got a question or topic suggestion, you can leave us a voicemail at 507-538-6272. We might even feature your voice on the show. For more On Nutrition episodes and resources, check us out online at mayoclinic.org/onnutrition. And if you found this show helpful, please subscribe and make sure to rate and review us on your podcast app. It really helps others find our show. Thanks for listening. And until next time, eat well and be well.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as medical or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified healthcare provider for any medical questions. The appearance of any guest does not imply an endorsement of them, their employer, or any entity they represent. The views and opinions are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views of Mayo Clinic. Reference to any product, service, or entity does not constitute an endorsement of or recommendation by Mayo Clinic.